This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm your host, Justin Rothenschofer.
And I'm Elise Gollin. Welcome to the show.
And guys, I love our guest today, not only because she's been able to take matters into her own hands and really, when I say own hands, I mean really ownership mentality here, where she had her own problems that she started to come across and created her own solution. And not just a solution that helps her, but is really impacting the world and impacting it at a massive scale. And it's really unique is when you figure out how you're able to serve people and when you're able to step up and create a disruption in this world, you ultimately get paid for it as well. And so she has been fantastic in creating ripples throughout the entire ecosystem of this world. And so, Kara, I cannot thank you enough for spending time with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Kara, I'd love you to kind of tell our audience a little bit about your journey to creating Hint. Hint, obviously, being sugar-free flavored water that has really just change the landscape of the world. And it's not just water. I think that's what I love about it the most is it's really a movement. It's a mission. And I'd love to learn a little bit about your story and tell our audience about how that came to be something that was not just your, not just a passion of yours, but literally your God-given purpose for being here and creating change.
Sure. Well, I call myself an accidental entrepreneur primarily because I did not know that I was going to be an entrepreneur. I had worked in media and tech for entrepreneurs, and I loved the energy. I loved the build. I loved everything about working in sort of startups. I worked in very early stage in the tech industry and a little bit later stage in media industry, starting my career in startups, at least at CNN. So when I was looking at what I wanted to do next, it didn't come until I took a couple years off. I have kids. I had very young kids at the time. I had three kids under the age of four. And I was focusing on trying to figure out how do I feed them, all the things that I was supposed to be doing as a parent. And it was at a point where I was feeding them after a while that I thought, here I am trying to cut out sugar and extra stuff out of their diet, and I'm not really looking at myself. And I wasn't eating or drinking tons of sugar, but what I was having was a lot of diet sweeteners. And frankly, I had never connected my own health issues that I was trying to change with the diet sweeteners. But when I followed my rules that I had for my kids, which was, you know, clean eating, limited ingredients, no diet sweeteners for sure, and sugar in very, in moderation as a special treat. That's when I decided I'm going to do away with my diet soda, Diet Coke in particular. And when I started drinking plain water, that's when I realized that the biggest problem for me with plain water was that it was super, super boring. And I had been trying to drink plain water for years. I grew up in Arizona, where I should have been drinking a lot more water than I was.
But dehydrated capital of the United States.
Exactly, exactly. And so just to get me to drink water after I had moved off of the Diet Coke, that's when I started putting a little bit of lemon in my water, putting in a little bit of lime. Then I started just throwing anything that was on my counter. I mean, I tried raspberries and watermelon and pomegranates and anything just to give the water flavor. And I thought, okay, well, this is doable for now. But when I really saw that just by making the shift, I was able to clean up the health issues that I was struggling with over the years, which was primarily weight and also skin issues, adult acne that I never connected. I always assumed that it was what I was putting on my skin versus actually what I was drinking. And so 2.5 weeks after shifting this habit of mine, I hopped on the scale. I knew I had lost some weight and I couldn't believe that I had lost over 24 pounds. I cleared up my skin issues and I thought, holy smokes, like what, why isn't anyone talking about this?
Right.
This was 17 years ago. I mean, this was a long time ago. And that's when I really started to do my own research. I had always been a really curious person, but again, I wasn't working right now. I was spending time with my young kids. And I thought there are so many people like me that are just trying to do the right thing, that pick up diet soda, pick up low-fat foods, and they think they're actually doing better, when actually what the biggest problem it could be what they're actually putting into their body with the diet and low fat. And so that's when I started thinking more and more about, where can I find this product that I'm making at home? Because it was a hassle. I had to buy all this fruit all the time. I was constantly going to the grocery store. And so I started looking around in the beverage aisle. Frankly, I don't know about you guys, but there are certain aisles in the store that I just stopped going down, right? I just wouldn't even enter into those aisles anymore, because I knew that I would grab Diet Coke, but I would get a bunch of it at Costco. And then when I went to the regular grocery store, I wouldn't even go down those aisles. But it was now time for me to look for this product that I had created at home. I never thought that I was going to create a beverage. And frankly, if I knew how hard it was, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I really saw this hole in the market. And I think like the one thing that I really enjoy a lot is thinking about consumers and really understanding what makes consumers want to purchase something, what makes them want to continue purchasing something. And when I added on to that, the fact that people really wanted to get healthy, 17 years ago, if you remember, no one was talking about mission-based companies. I mean, it just wasn't even a term at all. And what I saw was that there was this need for people to really have a great tasting product that helped them drink water, but also help them get off of diet sweeteners. And, you know, so many people have said, how did you know that? And I didn't know. All I knew was that I was going to try. And it was when I first entered into Whole Foods that I realized that there was this kind of opening with local programs that they allowed entrepreneurs like me to come and share their products and hopefully get it on the store shelves. And that's as far as I got. So I'll leave it at that. I often tell entrepreneurs that if you think too much about the end, you'll never get past the beginning. And that was always what I had seen in helping to build incredible companies, but never had I set out to do one myself.
Well, that's certainly amazing advice for all of our listeners, or most of them entrepreneurs as well. And I know something we have to remind ourselves of as entrepreneurs every day is stay exactly where your feet are, right? It's good to have vision. It's good to have clarity for the future. But if that's all you're thinking about, you can get really caught up in that. Absolutely. I want to shift gears for a second, though, with you, Kara, because you talked about how if you knew how hard it was going to be, you may have made a different choice. So talk to us about your personal journey. Talk to us about some of those hardships that you came across, because the reality is there's likely a lot of other people out there who are going through the same exact things.
Well, I think, first of all, there's never a good time, right? People would say to me, at the time when I launched Hint, I had 4 kids under the age of 6. And so most people would say, you're crazy. Like, yeah. What are you doing launching a beverage? But what I realized is that I could determine how much I was going to do every day on the product and how far I was, even if I got a no, one day. Maybe I would get a yes the next day. And so I just kept trying to move forward in some way. But it's interesting. In terms of hardships, I don't know if I would necessarily position it as a hardship as much as I felt like I was constantly on overdrive because I was learning an entirely new industry. So there were things as simple as distribution that I had no idea how to get distribution. I was able to get into Whole Foods initially with the product, but then pretty quickly, I felt like Whole Foods was constantly telling me, like, they kept upping the bar. So they kept saying, okay, well, who's your distributor? And I'm like, me. And they say, no, wrong answer. You have to have a distributor that actually comes in. If we had lots of entrepreneurs trying to stock the shelves, then we would have too many people in the store and there wouldn't be room for consumers. So I'd say, okay, well, give me the name of a distributor. And they say, no, you have to figure it out. And it was just this constant like battle like that, that I felt like I almost didn't want to go into the store because I felt like, okay, he's going to put another thing on my to-do list if I go in one more time. And I think like that's the thing that most entrepreneurs, you know, don't realize is that, you know, it's a battle, right? It's a constant, you're constantly trying to get space. You're constantly trying to learn. You're constantly trying to figure out the answers, especially since I was not only launching a new product, but also an entirely new category. And so trying to figure out how to do all of these pieces, plus go home and be a parent was not easy. Right. But I think that more than anything, one of the things that I talk about a lot is that, you know, you always have your own doubts in your head whether or not you can actually do something and accomplish something. But there's plenty of people surrounding you. Some of them you know, some of them you don't really know. Maybe they're the decision makers, but they doubt you can actually do it. One of the big things was that I was a mom of four young kids. And I wouldn't necessarily go out on a limb and tell everybody about it, but people who knew that about me started to, you know, share with me that I probably wasn't going to be able to do this full time. And I thought, wow, okay, maybe I won't be able to do it full time. But again, the more that you allow these conversations to go on, it sort of feeds into your own questions about whether or not you can too.
Right.
I want to ask you a couple of questions because I don't want this to go on deaf ears because this area of the industry, you really opened it up. It didn't exist. This isn't like today. This isn't 2022. You walk down the water aisle. There's a water aisle now. Like it's not just a soda aisle, but it is entire water area. And like you're a creator, you're a visionary, you're an innovator, like at its core. And so when we talk to those types of people that literally are leading from the front, that changed an industry, disrupted an industry that existed in this way, there's something that was stirring inside of you. There must have been something that was like, you know what, Kara, you are on the right track. Keep going, keep pushing, keep driving. This is what you were meant to do. There is a reason that you went through this. There's a reason that you experienced this. Can you speak a little bit to that side of it? Because when they're visionaries and innovators, they see something that doesn't exist yet. And that's a very special gift. And I want to honor you for that. And I'd really love to listen or understand what you felt internally to be able to bring something like that to reality.
Well, I think, first of all, the closer you can get to the consumer, the more you know that you're on the right path or not. And so I think that it doesn't matter what industry you're in. And I was just sharing the story this morning that I felt like by the second day I was on the shelf at Whole Foods, I just birthed my son, Justin, and came home from the hospital And I got an email from a consumer who was so excited to see Hint on the shelf. And they had been looking for a product like Hint for a long time. And they had this thing called type 2 diabetes. And I didn't know what type 2 diabetes was. I had knew what type 1 diabetes was. But it was at that point when I asked the consumer if I could actually have a quick discussion with them. And he said, sure, that I started to realize that if I could actually get people to shift away from these diet drinks or know that my product Hint exists, then I could actually help them get healthy. It's a different type of healthy than what I was looking to do. But I thought that that was, you know, an incredibly valuable thing for me to be able to know that I was doing and know that I was helping in some way. But I think more than anything, it really is the consumer that it helps most entrepreneurs figure out whether or not they're on the right track. I mean, most entrepreneurs that I know, it's not a wave, like a gradual wave that goes on. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. There's like spikes, you know, that go, it's the ups and the downs. And so after a while, if you're meant to be an entrepreneur, I think you get used to the spikes, right? You get, it's not that you don't have those down days, but you also know how to weather the storm and you don't carry too much with you when you end up having those down days, because you know that soon the days will get better. But I think it's something that unless you've actually been an entrepreneur, you don't really understand it. And I had seen it to some extent in the companies that I had worked under. But again, even when you're at sort of lower levels in the organization versus, you know, the top roles and or the founder in the company, you just don't see it. You just don't see it at sort of the same level. So I think that that was the thing that I really kind of had to get used to more than anything. But again, having that consumer feedback, if you do not have a product that has consumers yet, I think it would be incredibly hard to be able to weather those highs and lows because you are not hearing how much your product is needed or how much it's helping somebody in some way.
I want to even go back to what you talked about with there's a lot of like naysayers in your life at this time. There's a lot of people saying, hey, you can't go full time. You're not going to be able to do this. You haven't been in this industry before. This area of this doesn't even exist yet. And oftentimes the mentors that we had on this show before talked about, if you're wanting to replicate somebody's success, don't look at what they did, but rather look at the support system that they had built around them. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to, as you were going through this with all those naysayers, I'm sure Elise is going to talk to you about the mindset that you must have had to get through that. But what was your support system like? What were the people around you that were supporting you and helping you through that time? What did they look like? And who did you have around you specifically?
Well, I think there's a few things that I'll say about that. One, I dragged my husband into this journey. Initially, he was just helping me deliver cases of Hint into the store, but soon he became very, very interested in the operation side of the business. And he had been an attorney in Silicon Valley and in tech, totally different industry as well. But I think the thing that we both shared, although we had very different skill sets, was that we're ready to learn again. And we had both been working at this point for about 10 years and really felt like, you know, we were sort of going up the ladder and that we were, you know, continuing to get to be the manager and the director and VP and all of these different roles, which was great. But then the responsibility started to shift to being less about creating things and more about teaching and managing, and which is great, don't get me wrong, and very much needed. But I felt like by actually creating something new, which initially I thought was a new product, I didn't think that it was a new category until I started hearing from the people who were making decisions at the store shelf level that I was doing something totally new that didn't fit into their planogram. That's when I started to figure out that this was an entirely new category. But I think, you know, Theo is my husband's name and our chief operating officer. I would say that he was a huge support. It's great to go through the build and the creating, and especially when you're surrounded by naysayers. You know, lots of people that I've talked to have co-founders. I think that's becoming more and more common. To be able to have somebody who you can really, you know, bounce ideas off of, but also who can support you and lift you when you have those incredible, you know, days that are not so fun. But also, I think that, you know, the consumer too, and thinking about the consumer and how if I stopped, if I didn't go any further, then the consumer wouldn't have what I had. So I think at times for me, something as simple as like the letters that they would write to me was a support system that I knew that I had those, that community out there that really wanted a product like I was doing. I also felt like this was a choice that I was making, and that building out my own company, my you know, my product, et cetera, and taking this journey was something that I didn't have to do. I think that the one of the things that I go back to a lot is that so many people around me felt like just taking a couple of years off and being out of the market in tech, which is what I was in, was really risky and dangerous. And I kept thinking, oh, I don't know. I mean, I was 5 minutes ago, you thought I was great and I should go and work for so-and-so and go and do XYZ. And now you're telling me that just because I took a couple of years off, that I'm not marketable. And, you know, I would pick who I was going to have that conversation with. But I think more than anything, if it didn't work out, I thought I can always tell people that it didn't work out. I was always kind of okay with failing, that I didn't think that failing was a really big deal. I thought that failing really, failing is fine if you're learning something from the failure. That was, you know, something my parents always taught me in sports and, you know, and just growing up, I felt like, you know, there's lots of lessons to be learned and failures are okay. And more than anything, I felt like, you know, the mission and how passionate I was about it. And again, if I could do something that helped a lot of people, I would feel very proud. And hopefully my family would feel very proud of me as well.
Well, kudos to you, because it sounds like you were and still are absolutely in it for the right reasons. If there's something, one thing that I've taken away from today is that you are in this to serve. You keep talking, you keep going back, like in every single one of the answers, you keep going back to the consumer, those people that you are serving. And at the end of the day, as entrepreneurs, that's why we go into this really sticky, unclear, difficult, for some people, unnavigable career path, is because you can impact so many people, such a larger community outside of just yourself or your immediate family and friends, right? And that's the ultimate gift that gives back to us.
Totally.
I'd love you to kind of lean in a little bit to what you were talking about working with your husband, because it's such a unique dynamic. And you both came from different areas. And obviously, Elise and I work together as well. We've got a lot of couples that we serve that work together. As you guys started to navigate those roads, was it something that you found very naturally, where you kind of both fell into your roles and responsibilities in a really powerful way? How did you guys navigate that within the business? But then how did you navigate your relationship outside the business as well, of not only being now coworkers, but also separating work from your husband and wife relationship?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't say we necessarily separated it, because we loved what we were doing. And I think, you know, even brought our kids into our kids have, as they've grown up, depending on the summer, they've worked in Hint as well. And so I think, like, that's the, again, that's the rule that I think is, it just depends on what the company is, what your style is, what the relationship is, and whether or not you can work together. I certainly believe that it doesn't work for everybody, but I do believe that if you have different skill sets, and it's probably more helpful if you're both doing something that you really believe in, that you believe in the mission, you believe that there's a purpose to you working on something together. I think that how we've divided it over the years has come really naturally, frankly. And it was my idea, and I was kickstarting it, but I was running into walls that were challenging, and things around how to produce a product that didn't have preservatives in it. He had always been super interested in molecular biology prior to going to law school, and had been really interested in the science behind a lot of the stuff. I just wanted it done. I wanted a product that didn't have sweeteners in it and didn't have preservatives in it. But when you know, I wanted to develop this product, it wasn't out there. No one was doing this. I was totally fine with stating the impossible. I just didn't know how to actually create it. I think that the other piece of it that we both really understood growing up in the tech industry was the tech industry is all about innovation, and it's all about creating new things. And so when we had come from the tech industry, there was the word, it can't be done, or it will never be done. It's just, no one is bold enough to actually say that, right? Yep. It's not, it just is not part of the language. It hasn't been done yet.
Yep.
It can't be done. So growing up, both of us in the tech industry, we sort of believed, like, no one has figured this out yet. Oh, well, there's a problem for us to, a puzzle for us to go solve. But again, when you're facing something that people don't believe can be done, the other thing is your timeline is terrific, right? Because nobody's pressuring you to actually do it.
Come on, Kara, we need this done.
Not tomorrow, because everybody thinks it's impossible. So, you know, that it's almost like there was less pressure on us to do it. The only pressure was ourselves trying to figure it out. And I think having somebody as, you know, a co-founder, as a support system that really understood that mindset, I think was super, super helpful. And then, of course, when you actually figure something out, you know, you've hit the jackpot, and it's just, you know, really exciting. And then, you know, most of the people around you who said it couldn't be done, they're like, oh, wow, congrats. I mean, you know, there's not any major celebration, because they were never valuing it and appreciating it in the first place. And so I think that that's where the vision part comes in too, is that sometimes when you think about what can be done and what you want to see done, you may be ahead of where other people see. And that's hard. It's really hard. That doesn't mean it's not a good idea. It means that the consumer, your colleagues, however you want to look at it, may be a little bit behind where you are in terms of understanding who the consumer is today or is in the future.
It's amazing what you talk about, because anytime the pressures that we put on ourselves and the mission that we're on and why we're doing something is always what is going to precede any type of success. If we put service ahead of everything, we're going to get the accolades. And quite frankly, I'm just going to read this because it's amazing what you do and what happens when all of a sudden you do put service at the front. Where Kara has been named InStyle's Badass 50, Fast Company's Most Creative People in Business, Fortune's Most Powerful Women and Entrepreneurs, Fortune's Most Innovative Women in Food and Drink, and Entrepreneur of the Year in Northern California. Huffington Post listed her as one of the 6 disruptors in business alongside Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, and then also being a Wall Street Journal and New York Times bestseller. Like that is amazing to me to be able to have all of those accolades, but they don't come from, you didn't seek out and say, I want to have all of these goals. I want to have all of these accolades. I want to have all of my name up in lights, but rather no, I want to come from a service entity. I want to come and impact the world. I want to come and change. I want to come and create unique, impactful change on people. And that's the outcome. And when you lead from service, when you lead from something that is service-driven, purpose-driven, it's amazing the results you can get. So again, Kara, honor to you on that.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
So Kara, one of the questions I want to ask you is one of our listeners' favorite questions is, In your own words, your own phrase, or you know, a short sentence, what would you say is your definition of ownership?
My definition of ownership, I think solving problems that you see that need to be solved in some way. So I think more than anything, ownership is really I think there are multiple people that are going to typically contribute into any type of problem. But I think that when you're leading an ownership issue, I think it's also understanding that there's going to be challenges along the way. There's going to be failures along the way too. And I think it's recognizing what you're going to learn from those experiences.
Yeah, it's almost as if it's having this amazing foresight that you've had this whole time, the foresight to not only solve a gaping hole in the industry, but also the foresight of everything that was going to come along with it, right? Like you didn't sign on for this saying, oh, this is going to be easy. I can do this, right? Like I figured out what the problem is, and now all I have to do is figure out the solution and everything will just click, right? It's way different than that.
Exactly. And I think that that's the thing too, that, you know, when we were starting Hint, I mean, I wanted to create an unsweetened flavored water. Most people around me, most buyers that I was trying to get the attention of said, you know, what's it sweetened with? Right? They had no idea what I was talking about. Right. And so I think that you have to understand that you owning something, you taking this journey is not necessarily going to be somebody else's journey. They may not understand it until they have a problem that they're trying to solve. Maybe they will never want a product like Hint that helps them drink water. And so I think like that's the thing, that you have to be able to continue on your path and own that. And particularly if you are managing a team where you're helping them to really stay motivated in the mission as well.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So audience, be sure to check out Kara's book. She came out again with this in 2020, Undaunted. Again, how to overcome doubters and really kind of just own your own journey in this. It's amazing. A lot of great resources there. She's got her podcast. Kara, where else can people find you and lean into everything else that you're creating and putting into this world?
Yeah, all over social at Kara Golden. And as you mentioned, I have a podcast that I do a few times a week where I try and pull other entrepreneurs, very much focused on founders and their journeys and some of the hard stuff that they encounter, and very much focused on the founder journey and the hard and the challenges and the failures along the way, because I feel like if we can all learn from each other, that it's not a straight line, then we can all create and do lots of great things.
Amazing. Amazing. So guys, as you go forward, I think something to really come back to is it all comes down to mission, purpose, and vision. And if we lead from this sense of creating, we lead from this sense of innovating, we lead from this sense of being a visionary in our own journeys, we'll be able to serve at an extremely high level that will yield us more than we could ever imagine. Wherever you're at right now, it's okay if you're feeling this stir inside you. It's okay if you're feeling like, there's something more here. I really encourage you to keep exploring that. Keep looking at that. And you're never too old. It's never too late to reinvent yourself. The journey that you're on is setting you up to create, to be that innovator, to be that visionary, to be that person of service, no matter what that looks like. And make sure that you step into that world and step into that movement undaunted. As you go forward, guys, we know success is different. So own your different. And we'll see you next week.